Shall we pray for a moment? Dear Lord, on this Christmas Eve, open our hearts to your word made flesh. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do take a seat. For those that don't know, my name's Keith Brindle. I am the vicar here, and it's wonderful to have you at our midnight communion service. Every one of us is vulnerable. Every one of us is a bit screwed up. It's all right. Do you want to take it?
No.
Okay. That's the right answer. Every one of us is a bit screwed up. It's not just Donald Trump. Every one of us is a bit broken. Every one of us has times when we are powerless. Every one of us has times when we are fragile. Every one of us has times when we are wounded in some way or another. Underneath my vestments and underneath my clergy shirt, I have a t-shirt which has the word across it in purple. The word is glitchy. If you don't know what that word means, ask the person next to you. Hopefully they do. And it serves as a reminder that underneath all this exterior finery, there is a glitchy human. By the way, don't worry. I have a wife and 3 kids. 2 of them are teenagers. And when this t-shirt is in the wash, they are there to remind me that I am a glitchy human being. Every one of us is a bit glitchy. But mostly, every one of us is vulnerable. Now, some of you at this point may be feeling a bit unsure as to whether you are vulnerable. So I want you to just do a little test for me. I want you to take your hand, place it in front of you about that far, okay, and just breathe on your hand. If you're breathing, you're vulnerable. And do you know what our biggest vulnerability is? You probably do. It's that we're going to be found out. And that we will be deemed not good enough. That in some way or another, we're going to be exposed as incapable or unworthy, or ultimately unlovable. I used to believe that that was true actually of just myself. And it was just me who thought that they were unlovable. You know, I used to be a Catholic altar boy, and a service like this on midnight mass, when the vicar has gifted a statement like that, in days of old, I'd have expected somebody towards the back, maybe who had a few beverages, to have shouted out, "You are unlovable, Father!" In each of us, there are two powerful and seemingly opposing things going on. On the one hand, we all have this deep, irreducible desire and need for love and belonging. We are biologically, physically, and spiritually wired to love and to be loved and to belong. We long for meaningful relationships. And on the other hand, we don't want to be vulnerable for fear of being unlikable or unlovable or boring or superficial or a bit of a git or a snob or common or selfish or a cheat or shallow or a tool shed or ordinary. We fear being vulnerable and open. If we think of being vulnerable as basically being as basically uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure, who'd choose vulnerability? But what the Bible account of the birth of Jesus shows us, and what we know from our own experiences, is that if we want meaningful connections, being vulnerable comes as part of the package. connection and vulnerability are not opposed to one another. Vulnerability is necessary. So in John's opening chapter, the one that we've heard today, in his gospel, we read about the Word and how it was there in the beginning and how it was God. We also read about God being true light that no darkness could ever overcome. God as Word, God as light, God as powerful, God as strong, God as invulnerable. But when God became flesh, when God became the infant Jesus, for the first time in history, he became truly vulnerable, truly exposed. How vulnerable did God become? As vulnerable as any helpless, defenseless baby, needing the love and protection of others to keep it safe, warm and alive. That is massive. The God who is in the beginning, who created it all and continues to sustain it all, chose to become vulnerable. Why would God do that? Why did God do that? For connection, for relationship. We need a vulnerable God. We need a relatable God. Brené Brown, some of you may have heard of her, is a research professor at the University of Houston at the Graduate College of Social Work. And she spent the last 16 years studying courage and vulnerability and shame and empathy. And she wrote these words: "Vulnerability is the glue that holds relationships together. It's the magic source." God knew this, and that is why he came to us as a human. Brown also said this, that making oneself vulnerable can be as simple as showing up and being seen. You know those situations, you know those people, you know those times when you simply show up and you are seen. And in doing so, you are making yourself very vulnerable. You have to let your defenses down and to expose yourself to stuff that you'd sooner avoid. There's a member of this church here at St. James who supports bereaved families. And she spoke at our church a while back about how exposed and vulnerable she felt standing at the doorstep, waiting for the family in their grief to open the door, uncertain about how the next hour would go and what help she would be. She said that while she stood there, waiting for the door to open, she prayed for God's guidance and wisdom. Making oneself vulnerable can be as simple as showing up and being seen. That is what God did. He showed up. He was seen. And throughout the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, we see Jesus showing up, being seen, and being vulnerable, starting with that birth and ending with his ultimate vulnerability on the cross. When vulnerability is basically uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure, who'd choose vulnerability? Jesus would, and Jesus did. Why? Because of God's wholehearted love for creation. God's love for you and I is wholehearted. He holds nothing back. He gives all of himself. He gives himself in Jesus. You and I can be utterly vulnerable towards God. You and I can share all. We can show God our glitches. And God, in return, will show his wholehearted love to us through the vulnerability of Jesus. You can be utterly vulnerable to God because he has been utterly vulnerable to you and for you. A final quote from Brown. "Our capacity for wholeheartedness can never be greater than our willingness to be brokenhearted. It means engaging with the world from a place of vulnerability and worthiness." it means engaging with the world from a place of vulnerability and worthiness. Who does that sound like to you? We read again and again in the Bible of how God's heart is broken by the meanness, the selfishness, the greed and the corruption of humanity, and how again and again he responds with wholehearted love, until in his ultimate act of vulnerability, his heart becomes one of flesh and pumps in the infant Jesus. The Bible says this of Jesus, that though being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. This is why we can be so grateful for Jesus. He engages with the world from a place of vulnerability and worthiness. And his worthiness is not held at a distance from us. It is not unreachable or unattainable. He is so much more than a powerful word. He is so much more than a light that no darkness can overcome. He is with us. Our God in Jesus is with us. His wholehearted love is here, reachable, attainable. I want to end with a poem that somebody sent to me just a few days ago. It's called Just When. I'm rubbish at reading poems, so let's see how this goes. Just when we expect you to arrive with anger steaming out of your ears, you come to sit next to us, listening to our deepest brokenness. Just when we figure you will show up to toss us into the nearest fire, you come to sweep up the ashes of every broken hope, refining them into the chalice of wonder. Just when we are certain you are hiding there in the shadows, ready to leap out and scare us into repentance, you come to swaddle us in garlands of grace, twinkling off and on in pure joy. Amen.